This podcast is brought to you by PodPro Australia.
Hi, I'm Karen Hillen. Welcome to the My HR Partner podcast. We talk about all things HR from recruitment to ending employment. If you'd like support with your HR, check out our website, www.myhrp.com.au.
Hello and welcome to another episode of My HR Partner podcast. In the studio with me is the HR extraordinaire, Karen Hillen. Welcome back.
Thank you. How are you going?
I'm great. Okay, another tough one today. Conflict resolution and mediation, something no business wants to have to deal with. And I'm sure, you know, with personality, some are better at it than others. But look, something a lot of businesses do at some point or another, because human beings, they have conflict. Can you start by explaining to me the importance of having a conflict resolution and mediation strategy in place before it happens, not after?
Yeah, not many people like conflict. Some people love it. Some people thrive on it, but not many. No. Not many.
Most avoid it like the plague.
Absolutely. I know. I hate it. Most people do. And in my experience, the business owners that I deal with, they don't like it. They like having good employees. They don't like dealing with issues. And because of that, a lot of the time they'll avoid it. They'll put it off. And that can make things worse. So I think it is important to get the help you need, get the support you need, but deal with these things quickly. And especially if you've got an employee who has come to you with a complaint or a grievance, it's important to handle that really quickly and you know, with empathy and do it quickly so it doesn't escalate into something that's really horrible. And I've seen that happen. So it is a good idea to make sure that you do have a plan on how you're going to deal with those things.
Would that be something you put in a policies and procedures handbook, or how do you have a strategy in place?
Yeah, so there's a procedure in something like a grievance policy, for instance, where it would go through the steps that the employee should look at if they want to raise a grievance. And usually the first step is try and see if you can handle it yourself. You know, talk to the person. If it's an issue with another person, approach them, talk to them about the issue and try and resolve it at the most local level. That's great if you can do that.
Informally.
That's great if you can do that. And if you can, it's usually really successful, because if it's a conflict between two people, sometimes the other person doesn't even know that they've done something wrong, or they're doing something to annoy you or upset you or offend you. So talking to them about it, that can be as simple as all that needs to be done to fix it.
Sure.
Doesn't always happen though. And sometimes people don't feel comfortable making that approach, especially if they feel like they're being bullied or harassed. They're probably feeling really uncomfortable about having to deal with it at all, let alone make that approach by themselves unsupported. So then the next step would be for that employee to get some help.
Sure.
So report it to their manager or the business owner or whoever the appropriate person is, so they can get some assistance on how to deal with whatever the conflict or the issue might be.
I was going to say, what are some of the common conflicts that do arise that you've seen in your time in HR?
Yeah, there are so many varied things, and some can be easily fixed. So it could be somebody's just saying things that are offensive, and it could be something to do with your culture or your religion or your beliefs. And the person who's making those jokes or comments might not even realise that it's upsetting you. So to be able to let them know, a lot of the time the person that's doing it will be so upset that they've done something wrong and they haven't realised. So it can be fixed quite easily. Other times it might be harassment or bullying, or it might just be a personality clash of two employees. I had one recently where the manager contacted me and said, these two people just don't get on. what can I do? How can I help them to work together and come together so they can work through it? And they're great employees, both of them. They're good people. They just clash. So getting those people together is what she ended up doing, and it worked out really well because they could acknowledge what the problems and the issues were, and they were able to work through it quite easily. That doesn't always happen, but I think that's the thing. If people can have a process, take a bit of the emotion out of it and go, okay, well, this is what the process is when we're dealing with an issue like this. So let's sit down and work through trying to come to some sort of agreement. And it might just be, we're going to agree that we don't like each other, but we're going to be professional while we're at work. We're going to respect each other and both agree to do that.
Sure.
Not always that easy sometimes.
Not always that easy, unfortunately.
Yep.
And look, that might lead into my next question. How and when does mediation need to take place?
Yeah, so the big thing with mediation is...
because that's when you start a formal process.
It could be informal, but a lot of the time it will be formal. Mediation's never going to work unless both parties are willing. One of the things that I've seen go really bad is when you try and get two people together for some sort of mediation and they don't want to do it. You force them. You know, sometimes a business owner will say, you're going to sit down in a room and you're going to work it out.
We're not coming out until we're hugging and people are crying and saying we're best mates.
Yeah, it's probably going to make things worse. So, you know, I'm not a mediation expert. I'm not, you know, trained in mediation or anything like that. But I've done, you know, plenty of...
I was going to say, look, there would be a benefit to bringing in an outside person to do mediation, I would imagine. And that's something you are able to do.
I'm able to do it. Like I said, I'm not trained in mediation. There are lots of people out there that are much better at it than I am. And I think when things are really complex and they've got to a really bad situation, it's probably worth spending the money to get a mediator in there.
Professional mediator.
And that could even be a lawyer that's trained in mediation. Mm. Not because it's a legal issue, but because they're going to be best equipped to handle it. But if you're getting something quite early and it's really just a matter of getting two people together, I can do those sorts of things where I can come in and help mediate. But the key is they both have to be willing.
Sure.
I've been in situations where I've had a business tell me that both people are willing to...
And they weren't.
And so it made things worse.
You're wasting time and money.
Made things worse.
Yep. But tell me about a time when you have come in and done mediation and had a great outcome.
Yeah, I think the thing is sometimes it will be when people just don't realise that they're doing something wrong or they're doing something to upset someone else. So when you've got two people that are willing, they're happy to come in because they know that it's going to be best for them because they're not coming to work stressed every day. If you can get two people together, let them both talk about what the problems are and help them come to a solution. Like I said earlier, it could be people agree to disagree. People agree that they're never going to agree on a particular way to do something if that's what the conflict's about. You know, if it's about something, a process or a procedure, some sort of operational thing, if people can agree that they're never going to agree with the other person but they're happy to be professional and work together, that can be a great outcome. There are tools you can use as well, like I'm not sure if people have heard of DISC, but DISC is a personality profiling tool. I've seen that work really well where you can do a profile on both people and you can also do a comparison report. So people get to see why there's an issue, and it also gives you tips in that comparison report on how you can approach working with that person. It's not about manipulation. It really is just about
understanding
and changing your approach on both sides. So you can go, okay, now I understand why that person works the way they do or reacts the way they do. So if I change my approach, then I can get the best out of the relationship. So if somebody, you know, you've got to work with somebody and there's conflict and it's due to the fact that you're giving them way too much information about something that needs to be done. They like the high-level details. If you now know that about them, you can change your approach and go, okay, I know I've only got to give them the three key points about what I'm doing. That's all they need. I might need all the details. They don't. So now I know that that's how I should work with them.
Sure.
So tools like that can be really helpful. But I think, having somebody independent to come in and help facilitate those conversations can be really helpful.
Really helpful. You talk about this only really being effective if both parties are willing to mediate and talk. What can an employer do if you don't have both parties, or even one party's not willing? What's the next level? What can be done?
It's really difficult, and that's when I would say let's bring in someone that's a lot more expert than me, because they'll have probably higher level strategies to be able to make sure that they're getting to a point where people will feel comfortable.
Where there's a resolution.
Yeah. Or if not a resolution, some type
an
of
outcome.
Compromise
let's call
or an
it
outcome. So I think in those sorts of cases, you really are better getting somebody who is an expert in mediation, because they'll be able to work through a lot of other strategies that are more complex and more high level to get people on board and make people feel comfortable getting to mediation. So they might have to do a lot of work with each person individually until they feel happy coming together. And that's a bit more complex than the sorts of things I get involved in.
Sure. What are the key principles you would follow in a mediation process to ensure that there's a fair and balanced outcome? I think one we've already covered, and that is getting an outside person who doesn't have the emotion involved.
Yep. I think too, making sure people understand what the process is. So explain really clearly about how the mediation or getting people together is going to work. Even having a set format, there might be a form that people get where they can write down what their issues are so they can have those dot points to talk about when they do come together with the other person. But I think explaining what's going to happen and having some structure around it. So, and also explaining to people, if you're feeling uncomfortable, you can say, let's have a break. So making people feel as comfortable as possible about those sorts of things, because you want to get the best outcome. You don't want to force people together, make people feel uncomfortable, because you're never going to get a good outcome.
No. This topic brings us back to where we end up in a lot of these podcasts, Karen, that your advice service, where someone can come to your website, book a 15-minute or a 30-minute time slot with you, and can bring you what conflict they're dealing with, and you can advise them the best way to go about it.
Yep.
At a very low level, at a medium level, or hang on, this is serious. We need to get a lawyer involved pretty quickly here, and letting them know what the potential outcomes or consequences are of this conflict. Deciding after whatever course of action they've chosen to take.
Yeah, I think follow-up's probably important as well. So if you do get two people together to have some type of mediation, that there's some follow-up. You know, you're checking in with the people to see how it went. Are they still feeling comfortable, or did they feel pressured?
What a great point.
Or the agreement that was made, people aren't keeping up their end of the bargain. So I think it's important to have that support and follow-up as well, so people don't just feel like it was a one-off meeting, but it hasn't
a
fixed
Band-Aid.
The problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And again, sometimes you will need to get somebody who can put more formal processes in place if it's more complex.
Are there any circumstances, again, this is something I'm sure a lot of business owners don't know about, where they would sign something afterwards to what they're agreeing to? Does that happen or not really?
Yeah, again, I suppose it depends on what process you're following. If people are happy to say, yep, we're both happy to sign an agreement, this is what we've agreed. And that's where I think the follow-up can be good too, because then you can look at it and come together and say, okay, these are the things we agreed on. How are we going with those things? Am I keeping up my end of the bargain? Are you doing what you said you're going to do? So, yeah, I think the follow-up can be important in those sorts of things too, especially if you are having, you know, a form signed and agreements made in relation to what each party is going to do.
Sure. And where is the fine line between, let's say, conflict and something more serious that would involve an investigation? So let's say things like discrimination or harassment. At what point is it conflict resolution versus an investigation into misconduct?
Yep. I think when there's things like bullying, harassment, those types of things, they're probably not issues that are going to be dealt with mediation. I think it's more than conflict resolution when you've got somebody making a report of harassment or bullying or sexual harassment or things like that that are quite serious. So I think you wouldn't want to take the approach of, oh, this is just conflict management. I'm going to throw them together and get this sorted.
Another great example of where somebody can come to you for, you know, specific advice. This isn't conflict resolution. This is misconduct that needs to go down this path.
Yeah, so I think that it's important to think that if people are talking about being bullied or harassed, that it might not be a full-blown formal investigation, but it's worth asking some questions to find out what path needs to be taken because, again, you don't want to put somebody in a situation that they're feeling uncomfortable about because they feel like they're being forced into some type of conflict resolution or mediation. So I think it's really important to be sensitive about those things and really look at all of the implications of possibly getting two people together that might not be ready.
Sure.
Or it's not appropriate to even do that because...
Because of what's happened.
Because somebody's being bullied or harassed. You don't want to tell them, oh, we're going to deal with that with mediation. It's not about mediation. It's about dealing with the bad behaviour that's happening by the other person. Or finding out that maybe it's not harassment or bullying, it's just a manager managing somebody. So it's good to really understand what the situations are.
Always a minefield. Always a minefield. So look, just to recap again where you can help in any area around conflict resolution or mediation, A, just call you, book a time and get some advice. And also then look at whether you could be used to actually help resolve or be part of the mediation or giving advice and say, take this higher.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing is talking through what's needed, making sure that you understand all of the moving parts of, you know, conflict resolution or whether it is something that's not requiring mediation and getting the right people involved as well. Like I said, you know, if it's something that I look at and say, yeah, we can get these two people together. They're willing. They want to fix the problem. They're happy to work together. That's definitely something I can help with. But if it's more complex, I would definitely be advising somebody who's got a lot more expertise in mediation to get involved because they're going to end up with a better outcome because they've got the tools, they've got the skills and the knowledge and they've got a lot more experience to handle those types of things to get great outcomes as well.
Great advice. Fantastic. So once again, give us your website where anybody can go to come and get help and advice and services related to anything HR.
Yep, the website is www.myhrp.com.au.
Fantastic. Thanks again. Another great topic that we've got covered and looking forward to our next episode.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.